Greetings to the Federation family from the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina, and welcome to our national headquarters, the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute. I'm sorry I cannot be with you this weekend. I am off at the convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Missouri. I would have loved to be in attendance to share with you, to hear your ideas, what your concerns are, and how we can work together to build the National Federation of the Blind. I am pleased that I can share some thoughts with you, at least via recording. First, let me welcome you home to the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute. This is our building. If it's your first time here, welcome, and I hope you really will find it to be like your home. And if it's not your first time here, if you're coming a second, third, fourth, or tenth time, welcome home again. And I'm so glad that you all have made the time to come visit our national headquarters. You know, this is the 40th anniversary of us owning this property here in South Baltimore. We bought the property in 1978 for $532,000. It was a steal at the time, although it took about half the money that the Federation had. The other half of the money, $500,000, went into remodeling the building, at least the fourth floor of the building, and the organization was largely broke. I bring that up to say we've been blessed with visionary leaders in our organization. Dr. Jernigan made the purchase of the building and invested in it. And it was hard at the time, as I understand it, to really see that it would become what it has today. It demonstrates that when we put our mind to something big, even if it's hard to recognize really how big and audacious it'll be on the other side, when we collectively focus our energy on doing something, even if hardly anybody believes it, we get a lot done. And we've done that over and over in our history. So I hope on the tour, you'll come to appreciate the elements of our organization that you find around the building. And that is an expression of the fact that we are a broad, diverse people's movement, and we continue to be strong because we have people in all of the places across the country, and certainly in South Carolina, having members of the Federation working to build our organization, share our message, and improve opportunities for blind people is the thing that has made the biggest difference for blind people really around the world. We are currently preparing to do some remodeling here at our national office. We're going to be building new sleeping rooms on the Barney wing of the building, and I hope that Maurice will show you on the tour the mock-up of the new sleeping room that we're thinking about building, and at least give you the sense of the dimensions of the room. So Maurice, make sure to get that done. I want to share a couple of thoughts with you on this recording while I have a moment, and not being there to have the opportunity to meet each and every one of you, I wondered what I could share that might be meaningful probably to everybody in the room. And I think what's important is that I have the opportunity to serve as president of the National Federation of the Blind, and it is a great honor. Sometimes people think that that means I'm different than other members of the Federation, and I'm really not. I have responsibility that other members don't have, but I've been through many of the things that those of you sitting in the room now have been through. Most importantly, I've been through a time when I didn't know I was a blind person. I grew up knowing that I couldn't see so well, that I was visually challenged, but didn't really recognize that I was a blind person. And no one really endeavored to tell me I was a blind person, either because They didn't understand blindness well enough or in the way that we do in the Federation, or they operated from a vision-centered approach where vision was what was important. So that's what was emphasized, and that's what I was taught to be concerned with. I learned that vision was very important, even for things that it really is not important for. I learned that saying you could see things, which I did all the time, I said I could, if someone asked me, I'd say I could see something. And a lot of times I didn't get challenged on it. So I got away with it. I learned that I could fake it to make it. And I was one of the best at faking in all sorts of situations. I had no idea that blindness really was not the barrier to my success. I had no idea that blindness didn't have to hold me back. I had no idea that there was a lot of richness in the world that was non-visual, because I was really taught to focus on the visual so often. I had to invent my own techniques for doing things. The teachers really didn't help much in terms of understanding how to operate non-visually. I read large print books, and when I couldn't read the large print books anymore, I found magnification to read the large print books, and sometimes that meant using magnification devices that were really meant for distance viewing. I had to look ridiculous reading these large print books, but no one ever told me there was a better way to do it. And I limited the sphere of things I did because I didn't want to be put in a situation where I couldn't see something. I had no idea that there were techniques I could use, non-visual techniques. I had no blind mentors. I didn't even know any other blind people. That was until I met the National Federation of the Blind, which didn't happen until I was 21 years old and getting ready to go into my junior year, in college at the University of Wisconsin. I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship from the National Federation of the Blind of Wisconsin, and I went to our national convention. And everywhere I went, I met blind people who told me in one way or another that I could do better than I was doing, and that they would show me the tools and techniques of how to do it, that I didn't have to worry about what I could or couldn't see. In fact, the people who were totally blind, they were getting around better than I was. They were reading faster than I could. I couldn't read Braille, didn't know what Braille was really, and I certainly couldn't read print, so I couldn't read at all without having some sort of recording device or playback device. There were so many things I didn't know, but when I came across Federationists, they all, without even knowing who I was, offered to be my mentor, offered to teach me, but also attempted to challenge me, to challenge myself, to raise my own expectations. I was challenged to study the philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind, which is really our pattern of thought about what blindness means, what it does not mean, what our responsibilities are as blind people, what our expectations should be of ourselves and of those around us, what we should expect of the agencies for the blind. And then I was encouraged to start putting my own ideas into that philosophy, into the understanding of blindness that we have. And when I started out, that seemed pretty daunting because I didn't know much about blindness at all. In many ways, it still seems pretty daunting. But I know a lot more about blindness than I did 20 years ago, and I'm fortunate that we have an organization where we continue to challenge each other to reach for higher expectations. I had given up on the idea of driving a car until the president of the National Federation of the Blind started wondering out loud, why is it that we can't drive cars? Can't we build interfaces that take advantage of the capacity that blind people have to think and react? Can't we test the limits to see if it's true that vision is a requirement for driving. Just because vision's always been a requirement doesn't mean it actually has to be a requirement. In fact, we found that it doesn't. We built an interface for a car that a blind person could use, and I had the opportunity to drive it at the Daytona International Speedway in January 2011, and I've driven it on the streets of Baltimore around our building, and I've driven it in Virginia and Colorado and other places in Florida. So we know that there are perceived limits, but so far we haven't found what the real limits are for blind people, and we continue to test and expand those limits by working together. And that's why I'm really glad that you have taken the time to come to our national headquarters to check out the physical facilities we have and to think about how we can continue to grow and expand opportunities through the National Federation of the Blind in South Carolina. Now, our South Carolina affiliate has often been a leading affiliate in our organization. And I would challenge you to continue to find ways to get it to be stronger and in even more of a leadership position amongst our other affiliates. I want to express my appreciation for our president, Frank Koppel, who puts heart and imagination into our organization. He brings a tremendous amount of experience and background, and I know that his dedication to the Federation in South Carolina is unwavering. Fact of the matter is, Frank can't do it alone. He needs your help. He's only one guy, as great as he is and as energetic and as imaginative as he is. He still needs your help. Our organization is built on more than one person. In fact, our strength comes from having many hands to do the work. I challenge each and every one of you to find a way to help our president in South Carolina make the South Carolina affiliate the best in the nation. If you can make it better than Maryland, I'd be proud. A little sad because I live in Maryland, but very proud for the work that's being done in South Carolina. And that'll give me an excuse to challenge Maryland to be better than South Carolina. We all gain by having strong affiliates. And if South Carolina gets stronger, Maryland will want to get stronger, and vice versa. We've had some great leaders in South Carolina. I had the opportunity to talk with Dr. Capps the other day. He called, and I was reflecting upon the fact that Dr. Betty Capps both came to the first event that I ever put together as president of our Wisconsin affiliate. I became affiliate president in 1998, and Dr. and Mrs. Capps came to an event that we held in the spring of 1999 in Wisconsin. And I still remember the style, the charm, the heart that they brought to our convention from South Carolina. I know that each and every one of you have come this weekend to bring that same style, charm, and heart to the work that we're doing across the Federation. And it starts by building right there in South Carolina. So I encourage you to take the time while you're in our building, ask all the questions you can, learn as much as you can, and let me know how we can continue to work together to help build in South Carolina and across the nation. My telephone, my door, my email box is always open to you. You can send me an email at officeofthepresident@nfb.org. You can call our number here, 410-659-9314. I'll do my best to get back to you. Most importantly, I appreciate what you're doing to help build the National Federation of the Blind and to challenge me to do better, to build our organization, to create new possibilities for all of us. Enjoy your time in your building. I look forward to our next opportunity to be together. I hope you will come to our national convention in Orlando. And when you do, I hope you will come by the presidential suite and say hello. Thank you for coming. Let's go build the National Federation of the Blind.